talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was from Steely Dan, Home at Last. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Paige Taylor. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up February 3rd through the 5th at the North Charleston Convention Center, and also the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every October. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with structural engineer Brian Wells. He is an Army vet and is the CEO of Wells Engineering and also Coastal Creek Design, which is an architectural design firm in Mount Pleasant. Very interesting interview. I'm sure you're going to pick up a lot of useful information there. We'll also be talking with Elise Witt with Zuma, and Zuma is one of those kind of off the beaten path places that you really should know about. It's in Mount Pleasant. They take regular trips to Turkey to buy different rugs and runners. I know my wife wants a runner for our kitchen that we're going to check out. But very interesting interview. And then finally, Kathy Swink with Tervis, the Tervis shop downtown. And we're partnering with the Tervis shop to give away 100 free Tervis tumblers to the first 100 guests at the Charleston Home and Design Show on Saturday and Sunday, February 4th and 5th. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we are at the Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering offices, speaking with CEO Brian Wells. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. So can you tell me about Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering and your background, how you got into all this?
Yeah, so I moved to Charleston in 2000 after leaving the Army after college, and I built houses full-time for John Wieland, a local custom builder, for a few years, and then I worked for a custom builder after that, and then I went back to working for the government as an engineer, and I got my professional engineer license, and then some of the builders that I knew encouraged me to start doing structural plans for their house designs. So in the Charleston area, you have an architectural set of drawings that, and then you have a structural set of drawings that's like the foundation plan, the framing plans, and all that. So I started making those plans in about 2004, and then I did it on the side for almost 10 years. I would work at for the Navy during the day, and then work at nights and weekends doing these residential drawings for structural stuff. And then in 2011, I made the decision through my church to start tithing. And then that's really when my whole life kind of changed. And my side work eventually became my full-time occupation.
Gotcha. So what happened after you started getting busy after 2011 and our local building market started to improve?
Well, I continued to build the structural side, working on the side. And then 2014, I left the government and started doing this full time. And then about a year later, I hired my first employee who was an engineer. And that's when it really started taking off. And so a few years later, we hired a third engineer tech. And then back then, the jobs we were doing, we'd have an architect that would send us plans, and then we would just do the structural set.
So, Brian, why is it necessary to hire a structural engineer when you're doing a remodel project or building a new house?
So here locally in Charleston, we have two main factors. One is a very high hurricane area, which you're aware of. Something that you may not be aware of is it's a very high seismic area as well. So there's a pretty large fault that's in the Somerville area that, and there was a really large earthquake here in the late 1800s in Charleston that did a lot of damage. So we have a combination of hurricanes and seismic hurricane issues, which is very unique. So most of the local building officials require that you do a structural set in addition to the architectural set. Now, there are some architects out there that will do structural details, but I think if you push a little bit on them, you'll find out that they're not really insured for errors and omission insurance for structural defects.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And that's in case your house starts to sag or something happens with it 10 years later on, right?
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering, you hired your first architectural designer with mm-hmm. Coastal Creek Design about that time, right?
Yeah. So what was happening was we were always really reliable on our structural engineering plans. We'd normally do them in 3 weeks or less and would routinely do work for with the same builders or developers. And some of them just started expressing frustration with the architectural process and how long it took. And oftentimes we would get plans from architects or architectural designers that didn't really think about the structural aspects of the house when they were designing the architectural. So we'd be kind of stuck at that point where we'd either work with an architect to try to correct the plans or make them more practical. And it's just kind of an inefficient process. So we started doing the in-house architectural plans in around 2019. And I could tell from the very beginning, it was just really a successful, it was a really good idea because we were figuring out the architectural and the structural at the same time in the same office. So as we started to have success, we started hiring more and more architectural designers. And up to present day, we have four architectural designers on staff. And then we have two main lead architects. One is Joel Adrian, who's an architectural designer he graduated from Clemson. And the other one is Linda Balzac, who's a registered architect. He's been in the Charleston area for a long time. So between Joel and Linda, they guide this very robust architectural team that I have here. And again, when we're working with somebody, we're dealing with the structural and the architectural at the same time here at Coastal Creek Design.
Gotcha. What types of projects does Joel Adrian, your lead architectural designer, work on?
Yeah, so I'll talk about Joel and Linda Balzac here for just a second. So Joel has been a very successful architectural designer in the Charleston area for 20-30 years. He started out as a Wild Dunes architectural review coordinator in the early 2000s and then started his own firm. And he does renovation, addition, new construction drawings all over the area. Has a lot of experience with all the ARBs locally and just a really strong designer. And then the other one, Linda Balzac, has been she's a registered architect. She's been in the area for, she's born and raised here, been an architect for 30 years, has a ton of experience and a lot of connections with builders and, again, with ARBs, particularly with Linda, the Old Village. She's really good with that review board. So some projects will be led by Linda and some projects will be led by Joel. And so they're the ones that generally are meeting with the clients, keeping things moving between reviews and then overseeing our architectural staff, which again is four architectural designers that are super talented, can do 3D drawings that are very high level. You can see those on our website, and just can put together ARB review packages and just all kinds of different things on a very quick basis. You know, for both Joel and Linda, for a long time, they were just kind of independent architects that would do all the designs and details themselves. And that's challenging, you know, especially because that's not always the best use of their time. You know, there's lots of details and things that are kind of routine and repetitive. And this has allowed them to focus more on the customer and the desires of the customer and working with the team to try to produce the best results possible. Mm-hmm. And I think if you talk to each one of them, I think that the fact that we have structural engineers here in this office and they're able to reach out to them right away and get feedback from them and talk about HVAC locations and beam locations and things like that, it's just an amazing team that we've somehow assembled here.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on that. So Joel and Adrian, they work on renovations, addition projects, and new construction. Can you tell me about your experience as a builder and developer and how that has helped Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering?
Yeah, so that goes back to my early days of moving here in 2000 and building houses full-time for 3 years. During that time, I got my builder's license. I probably built 50 to 80 houses during that time, so I just had a lot of experience. I loved it. But I just felt like God had something else for me. Sometimes I had a hard time turning off the process of building houses in my mind. I wouldn't sleep at night, things like that. So I just felt like it wasn't the right career for me, but I've always loved it. Particularly working with the material selections and the subcontractors. So when I left the Corps of Engineers to do this full time, one of the first things I did was start doing development projects. So we built a spec house on Sullivan's Island, another one on Sullivan's Island, then one on Isle of Palms. And now we've had a few other projects over the years of downtown Charleston renovations, additions in the Hampton Park area and West Ashley. And in my opinion, why that's important to the client is because I really have a good feel for pricing on construction projects. So from the very first time I talk to a client, I give them a pretty good general idea of what that project they're describing is going to cost construction-wise. And sometimes that means we don't get the job for design work, which is good because you don't want somebody to go through the full design process and just get disappointed. But lots of times I'm able to say to them, well, if you change this or this, then maybe you're within your budget, or maybe let's just design all of it, and then we can figure out a way to do it in stages later on with the contractor. And also, it kind of gives me, I guess, a level of credibility with the builders that we deal with regularly that, you know, have a lot of experience as a builder. It really helps kind of communicate with them.
So Brian, you can, when a homeowner brings you a wish list of things that they want to get into their, integrate into their new home, and they give you a budget, you can tell them that it's this particular budget is not going to, you're not going to be able to build the size house that you want and with all the bells and whistles that you want up front.
Yeah. And that's not always an easy conversation, you know, mm-hmm. but I just don't want people wasting their time going through this process and then just being disappointed when they find out the real price of what they want to do. I just much rather have those conversations up front so that we can really design them something that's practical and it's going to suit their needs.
Well, the reason I ask is when my wife and I had our house built, we gave the architect our wish list. We told her about how many square feet we were looking for. We told her what we had to spend, and we said, how much is this going to cost us? And she couldn't tell us till it was all finished, mm-hmm. till the design was done. And she wasn't even sure, you know, exactly what the square footage would be. So that was a little bit of a headache to worry about that, whether, you know, we were going to get this nice set of plans that might not ever get built, be used.
It also puts the owner in a much better position with the builders you know, if they sometimes we'll have a builder selected and we'll work with them throughout the process, but lots of times they're going to bid it out to a couple of different people. And it's a lot of, there's a lot of power in that for the owner to know going into it what the ballpark should be when those bids start coming in.
Right, right. So you as a builder, tell me about your relationship you've developed having been a builder and now working with local builders over the last 20 years.
Yeah, you know, as we've been doing it so long, it just seems like I know, as crazy as it sounds, it seems like I do know most of the builders. And most of the time, if an owner is talking to me about a builder, I've got experience with that person, a relationship. You know, it's unique as a structural engineer because if there's something that goes wrong in the field or they need clarification on something, oftentimes it's the builder is trying to figure out. You can tell whether they're trying to do it the right way or whether they're trying to figure out a way around what they should be doing. I'd say the majority of them are the ones that are trying to do it right. And, you know, I got this love for builders. You know, it's not an easy job. And I have a lot of respect for them. And I think what that's allowed me to do is connect the right owner to the right builder for the project. So if it's a certain area, certain budget, certain scope, that's one particular builder, that may be two or three guys. Another area at a larger budget, different scope, that may be a couple, there may be three different guys. But I think that the resource I've had through all that years of experience as a structural engineer, getting to know these builders really has helped translate it into this new architectural stuff that we're doing.
And you get to know their personalities too. And when you're talking to one of your clients, you can kind of anticipate whether, how well right. the personalities will match up.
Exactly. You know, cause really lots of the time I try to tell the people this, the bids are pretty much going to be in the same range. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more important that you pick somebody that you trust, you have a good communication, link with, you feel comfortable around that person. Cause you're going to be kind of married to this person for about a year.
Exactly.
And I think the architectural selection is very, very important, but also the builder selection is probably equally, if not more important. And we can really help people with that selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember one particular time, I think I called, we had a subcontractor on site and they were asking us questions I couldn't answer. I think I called him 7 times within 2 minutes and, you know, he answered every time and remained calm and didn't get frustrated or anything. So that was kind of my, what I was looking for in a builder was I know it was going to be high stress. And if I got really, stressed out about one thing or another and kind of, you know, showed it to him, I didn't want him to punch me in the face or something. So, and that was our builder, Sean Maston, was like that. Well, tell me a little bit more about your design team.
Yeah. So, one thing I did want to mention also is we have, in addition to the builder network, we have a great network of other people that are associated with the building process that you'll probably need help from at some point, surveyors, landscape designers, civil engineers, septic engineers, pretty much any professional you need to come onto your design team. We have good partnerships with and a couple different options. So that's important as well. I did mention my team, you know, just in general at Coastal Creek Design, it's those 4 architectural designers that are super talented. Lead architect, Joel Adrian, lead architect, Linda Balzac. And then Sarah is our admin assistant, kind of helps the communication move through. And then on the structural side, Luis is my lead engineer. He's just fantastic. He's been kind of running the show on that side with me overseeing it for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. Got another kind of junior engineer that's developing under him and an engineer tech. And I would also like to add at this point, like our team is cross-trained so that if we give more of a workload surge in architectural stuff, these guys that are structural engineers can do some of those architectural functions. You know, the dimensioning of the drawings and kind of things that are just like don't take as much skills, you know, so you don't only have these architectural designers I talked about. We also have kind of capability to surge more if we need to in particular areas.
Mm-hmm. Walk me through the process of a typical renovation or addition design job.
Yeah. So, if you go, also, I want to mention at this point, we just updated our website. So there's a lot of good information on our website, www.coastalcreekdesign.com. But basically the first thing, if it's a renovation addition job, normally the first thing either me or Joel or Linda will talk to the person over the phone, go to their house to meet them and talk about what they want to do. So we can better feel for, and then I'll talk to them. Usually if I'm out there, I'll talk to them about the budget, the construction budget side of it, to see if there's, if what they want to do is within their budget. And I do want to mention here, if it's any kind of renovation, addition, or new construction, you always have to have a survey. So that process takes 6 to 8 weeks right now. So we'll want to make sure you have a survey on order. And then once we feel comfortable with the design scope, we'll send a written proposal. And once they accept that, we'll sign a DocuSign contract. And then usually within a week, if it's a renovation addition, we'll be out there on site with a full team of taking pictures of their house, measuring their house, and developing a set of as-built plans. And then about a week after that, we'll have the clients in our office working with our design team on the after plans for the renovation addition. And then the process just kind of starts from there. Once we get through the first couple conceptual phases, the client will see every single time, they'll say draft one, draft two, draft three on the subject line of the email. It's very disciplined. And usually the first couple of design things, we're trying to get them back in the office so that we can work with them face-to-face as we're working through the conceptual phase to try to make as much progress as possible, as quickly as possible. But generally, for renovations and additions, from the time we sign the contract to the time we get through the final approved drawings is about 5 weeks with the architectural plans. And then from there, we move straight into the structural plans. The whole process normally takes about 8 weeks for renovations and additions, which, again, nobody else in the area is doing anything that fast because we have the architectures and the structural in the same office, and we have just a really disciplined team to keep things moving along. Now, we can go slower than that. There's lots of people that want to go slower than that to take their time between reviews, and we're certainly open to that. And for the new construction projects, it's a very similar process and timeline. I will add, though, on the new construction that we're often slowed down by ARBs and architectural review boards for neighborhoods that are kind of outside of our control. But generally, the timeline for the new construction is about the same.
What do you recommend to homeowners that are considering hiring an architectural designer for a remodel or addition project or new construction? They may be new to the whole process. They may not have contacts, or they don't know who to talk to about creating those drawings, and they may look at the whole process of hiring an architect, unless it's required by the ARB in that particular neighborhood. They might look at it as, well, I talked to a few builders and they you know, told me that they could help me with the design or something like that. But what should homeowners consider when hiring an architectural designer, and why should they make sure not to cut corners and skip that process?
Yeah, going back to what you just mentioned, you know, sometimes if you have a builder that's going to take that on, you're kind of locked into that builder, you know, and you're at his mercy, and there's really no way to double check his pricing if you don't have an independent set of architectural and engineering plans. Before I jump into this, I did want to mention, you know, we still do structural only plans for some of the local architects and designers. There's a lot of great architectural designers out there. Some of the ones we work with regularly, Phil Clark, Bill Marshall, Johnny Tucker, Julia Martin, and there's just a lot of other ones that are great. So we're certainly not the only ones around. I do think that we are the only ones around that have the architects and the engineers physically located in the same office that are not doing any commercial stuff at all, just residential. Mm-hmm. So going back to your question about how to hire an architect or architectural designer, there's three main factors. There's the quality of design, there's the speed of design, and there's price of design. So for the quality of design, I believe that's the most important factor, because ultimately that's going to dictate how creative the person is when it comes to a renovation addition, and how efficient and just creative they are in new construction drawings at all. Also, you need to hire one that understands construction prices, just like we talked about a few minutes ago. There's no point in designing any of this stuff if your budget doesn't allow it to happen. So you need to hire an architect that gives you a clear understanding of how much it's going to cost construction-wise. You need to hire an architect that gives you a clear design schedule that makes a solid written commitment to that schedule. And then you need to hold that person accountable to it. You need to check references. I would ask the architectural designer to send you example plans, and I would ask for 5 to 10 clients to call and talk about the process. And when you're talking to those clients, those references, you want to talk about the communication style, whether they met the deadlines that they established initially, just how they were to work with, how easy they were to work with on changes and things like that. And then if you have a builder, you want to get their input on the architect as well, because they're going to know how good their designs are and whether they meet deadlines and those kind of things. And then you want to be realistic. So that covers the quality and the speed. Mm-hmm. So you want to have somebody that has high quality, and the speed side is them clearly telling you how long it's going to take, and then making sure through references that they meet their deadlines. And then on the pricing side of it, I think you have to be realistic about how much a design should cost you. You know, it's a small portion of the overall construction budget. You're getting ready to start a project. And this architectural engineering fee, in my mind, is kind of a small part of that, but it has the biggest impact on what you're going to do. So you got to make sure that, and just like anything else, you're going to get what you pay for. You know, if I feel like we're right in the middle of the range of fees. If you get somebody that is really inexpensive, you're probably going to get a not a very good design. And then you're going to suffer through that, your builder is going to be disappointed by the plans. It's going to be tougher to get through the permitting process. And if you overpay for architectural designs also, you're going to be disappointed by that. So you want to make sure you're getting something that's fair for the quality and the level of service and the time that you're paying for.
Well, and I'll piggyback on what you just said. In our neighborhood, when the first few houses were coming out of the ground, the developer at that time, I guess he decided to take the cheap route and hired a draftsman to draw several of the first spec houses out there. And I don't know if this actually happened, but it was as if the developer decided, okay, these houses need to be 3-bedroom, 2-bath, formal dining room, ta-da-ta-da-ta-da, and gave it to the draftsman. And, you know, within the houses were not huge. They were about 2,500 to start with square feet. And it was as if the draftsman just said, well, okay, I'll put all those things in there. And I remember walking through one of those houses that was built, and the dining room was tiny. You got that claustrophobic feeling when you walked into the room, because it was just so tight with the dining room table there and just not enough space. And just also mentioning what you said about the impact of hiring an architectural designer versus not doing that. You'll have regrets. The outcome, you may think the outcome is going to be what you want it to be, but you know, the people who have hired an architect to draw their home plans, I guarantee they love their home much better than those that did not have an architect or architectural designer involved.
Yeah.
Just the space is laid out differently. They think of you folks think of places where you know, you can put a closet, places that make sense that you're just not going to get if you're working with a draftsman or working with a builder trying to draw these plans on the fly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a fun process. It's a really collaborative process. You know, the owner's going to have their ideas of what they want. You know, our team's going to come up with ideas that they don't even think of. And, you know, and then we're going to also be talking to them about the budget side of it and making sure that we keep it within those rails as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I'd say that the design sessions themselves here at our firm is just really fun, mm-hmm. you know, and every single time. I'm usually the one checking on the clients when they walk up before they walk out the door, and they've got a smile on their face, and they say, "You got such an awesome team,"
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is really, really cool.
Yeah, yeah, because they're putting themselves in your hands, and that you're taking good care of them. What would you say that Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering does best, or what's most unique about your firm?
Yeah, I just emphasize it again. I mean, I think we're the only firm that has architects and structural engineers physically located in the same office that only does residential. Now, there are firms out there that have architects and engineers that do commercial stuff. And there are some engineers that do architectural design, but they don't necessarily have a big team. And, you know, because of that, we're able to do things really quickly and just really can perform very well for the clients. So, also, you know, when folks hire an architectural designer or architect or designer, they don't always think about the quality of the structural engineer. And, you know, I think embedded in our process is this really solid engineering team that I would say is one of the best around locally. So, you know, if you're at the mercy of the architect sometime when selecting that structural engineer, you're not always going to get the best product on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that this happened systematically, but it's also kind of happened suddenly here, mm-hmm. where we have this amazing team that God's kind of brought to us with these super talented architectural designers that are actually getting along with these structural guys in the same office and just coming up with the best solutions for clients. And I just think it's a fun process. It's very unique. Hasn't been done before, and we're just really excited about it.
Good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Coastal Creek Design and Wells Engineering?
So the best way to learn more about us and get in touch with us is to Google Coastal Creek Design, and we will come up as the first thing on that search, coastalcreekdesign.com. If you want to email us, there's a link there on the website as well. info@coastalcreekdesign.com. And my personal cell number is, and it's Brian Wells, is 843-514-1790. We'd love to talk to you guys about your project, your ideas. And, you know, I'll tell you also, there's lots of times I talk to people that just doesn't turn into a design, you know, but I'm able to kind of assess where they're at in the process and what they want to do. And I'll give them advice, you know, whether they hire me as an architectural designer or not. You know, mm-hmm. We have a lot of experience in building and design and things like that. And we just want to serve people.
Mm-hmm. And you got a great office and a great central location right here in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. So we're located, just in front of the Bell Hall, subdivision, which is right off Long Point Road near 526 in Mount Pleasant. Most of the time, once we get done with the field work, the clients are coming here to our office. It's kind of a good central location to have our meetings.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing I would just kind of echo from what everything that you said is that advice to a homeowner is slow down. Don't be in such a rush. I know you wish you could snap your fingers and your house, your dream home would already be built, but you have to go through the different processes and just slow down and be patient. And if you want that, the outcome of your project to be what you expect it to be, just take the time and do your research. You know, when someone says, do you ever get uncomfortable when people are asking those questions about meeting deadlines and asking for references and things like that?
No, that's the best thing when people ask us that, because I just copy and paste this list of 25 people, and if the people do start taking time to go through that list, they're just here testimony after testimony of people that have been really pleased with what we've been doing.
Well, that's great. Well, we have been talking with Brian Wells with Wells Engineering and Coastal Creek Design. Thanks so much, Brian. And joining us on the phone right now is Elise Witt with Zuma. How are you doing, Elise?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. Elise, take a moment. Tell everyone about Zuma.
Zuma is a business. It's named after my business partner and me. And we go to Turkey several times a year. And we source rugs. And we also make products from our rugs, like furniture, and bring back some other goods from Turkey that we love, and we sell them at our warehouse in Mount Pleasant and also online.
And the public has discovered Zuma and all of your authentic products that you have. And what do your customers say about the rugs and all the olive jars and all of the textiles that you are making out of these rugs that originate from the Mideast, Turkey specifically?
Yeah, customers are loving it. They love the quality products that we bring back. We carry a lot of vintage rugs. We also make some new rugs that are handmade, just like the vintage rugs in Turkey. The vintage rugs are all cleaned and repaired before they come over. So customers love that they know they're getting a quality product, whether they're buying vintage or new. And they like our prices. We have a good a price line that's fairly affordable in comparison to some other, you know, places that you find rugs at. And they're loving the new products that we have. We brought back a lot of olive jars and olive oil glass jars, like the demijohns. And we're also making a lot of furniture from our rugs that we meet with some artisans over there, and they will hand make furniture like ottomans, benches, footstools, and even some chairs. And the toppers are vintage rugs.
Oh, that's great. And your business partner, is she from Turkey?
Yes, Sue is from Turkey. And I've traveled back with her, I think it was around 2015, to visit her family and see the beautiful country. And sometime after that, we started talking about bringing back some products because we love them so much. And now we have Zuma.
That's great. And how many times have the two of you, or at least one of you, traveled to Turkey on buying trips and to get all the beautiful rugs and other items?
Well, I think our first official buying trip was 2017, and we went one time that year. And then in 2018, it was two times, and it's been three times ever since then, pretty much.
Mm.
So even during COVID, I think I went one time when COVID was hot, and she was able to go back and forth a little bit easier being a citizen. But we've been going back and forth several times a year.
That's great. And you buy these items by the container, is that correct?
Well, we actually have a warehouse in Turkey, and we have a team of people that we work with, and they work for us when we're not there too, so they can help source and, you know, make things, et cetera, when we're not there. So we have a warehouse over there where we kind of stockpile things during the year. We'll send some smaller shipments over via air freight that we need, but we kind of wait for a big container once or twice a year, and we kind of wait to fill it up according to what we need and leave a few things back there for the next container. But we just fill it up and it comes pretty quickly. Thank goodness we live near a port.
Yeah, really. That helps. And when was the last container that Zuma got in?
The last one was in October.
Have you made your way through all of that merchandise yet?
We have not. We stocked that thing so full. So we have a lot of stuff, and we brought some few things over via air in between then. But a lot of olive jars, a lot of furniture, great rugs. So there's still lots of good stuff left from this container.
Hmm. And these olive jars, I'm looking at the Zuma ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and these look like you've been transported back to the, you know, 12th century or something. And if you've ever watched a documentary where maybe there's scuba divers exploring an ancient wreck on the bottom of the sea, and you come across olive jars, these look exactly like the olive jars that are, you know, that were discovered hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Right. Well, they're not that old. You wouldn't be able to take them out of the country. But yeah, the tradition continues. And so they're not quite that old, but they are old and they've been used to hold olives. And they're beautiful because they're all different sizes and they've been glazed at some point on the inside. Some of them are glazed on the outside and the glaze will drip on the outside. So, you know, it's kind of like looking at a piece of art, just like the rugs. Everyone mm-hmm. is so different. You can kind of get lost just looking at them. They're really neat.
What are homeowners using for these olive jars and the different rugs and things like that? Where are they using them in their home?
Yeah, the olive jars, they do well outside. So you can use them outside on porches. They do great for table decor, some smaller ones, people using kitchens to hold kitchen utensils and stuff. But, you know, great for greenery or cool table settings or just a neat piece setting on the corner. I have quite a few at my house holding plants and some others just more as art, you know, on a shelf. So they're used all over the house, inside and out. Mm-hmm. And rugs, lots of runners, people, you know, are redoing a lot of houses, buying new houses. So we sell a lot of large rugs. We have a good selection of large rugs, vintage and new. And so the large rugs and the runners are some of the hot sellers that we have.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. Americans love furnishings that have the look as though they've sort of a distressed look that they've it's been around for a long time. People will pay good money for a beat up desk or something like that that's got chip paint and things like that. Things that maybe our parents would say, why would you want something like that? And I wonder if the people in Turkey who you're buying these items from, they're used, they're worn and you know, do they think that we're just crazy in America for wanting to buy all these used items from them?
No, not at all. I think they're kind of proud of it and like that people appreciate part of their history. One of our main business people that we work with, we call him our business partner, even though he's really not. We will go to his house for dinner. And the funny thing is he doesn't have any vintage rugs. He has brand new machine rugs in his house, but that's just him. You know what I mean? But he loves them as art and other things too, but no, they love sharing the culture and the history.
Do you sit on the floor when you have dinner at his house?
No, no.
It's not like you see in the movies then, right?
No, but we do have that. We'll have a little table like that for tea and some snacks at the shop sometimes when we're in our warehouse.
Gotcha. And so Zuma, you folks, you have your partner in Turkey, and I bet that he is constantly on the hunt for all these different olive jars and rugs and things like that. You mentioned mm-hmm. that some of them are vintage. They're well worn. They've got holes and things like that you patch up before you sell them to your customers at Zuma.
Yeah, sometimes when we find rugs there, they, you know, they have been used, or some of them have been used by nomadic people who live in tents. So they need a good cleaning, and we get that done there. And a lot of them need repair. Some of it is not much. Some of it's quite extensive. The pieces of rugs that we use for our furniture are the rugs that we find that have a lot of damage, and it's not really worth, you'd have to do so much repair mm-hmm. to it. It's almost like making a new rug. So we take out the sections of some of the rugs that are really worn that we find. And so we kind of upcycle them so they can keep on living a new life in a piece of furniture.
And that ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, I'm looking at, it looks like one of the items that you make from these rugs are purses.
We do. Yeah, we make some, we call them day bags and overnight bags. We do have a few clutches, but we just love that. We love the rugs and we love to see, you know, we find these pieces that have so much history and such a great story and the design's beautiful. We hate to see them go to waste if it's just a little scrap, but so we put them to put them to use in the bags as well.
That's great. That's great. And these are perfect items for the holidays coming up and people looking for unique gifts. You don't want to give just something that, anyone can have, that you want to, you want to give something that's unique, and the rugs and the olive jars and all the other, items that you upcycle at Zuma. Those are all great, gift ideas for people.
Yeah. Everything we have in the store is one of a kind. So even the one rugs that we have that are made new because they're handmade, they're still one of a kind too. But mm-hmm. Every olive jar is one of a kind. They come in all different sizes, so you have a price range, that's very affordable, that goes on up, but there's price ranges that will fit everybody and great unique gifts for mm-hmm. one of a kind for your one of a kind person.
And speaking of affordability, Zuma, you folks are located a little off the beaten path, but definitely less expensive for rent, and I'm sure you pass that on to your customers. You don't have to charge as much for these items because you don't pay as much for your off-the-beaten location. Can you tell everyone where that is?
Yep. We are located in Johnny Dodds Boulevard, but you won't see us from Johnny Dodds Boulevard. So a good landmark is Parks Auto Parts, and there's a road that's not named, kind of a driveway, I guess, that you would say, that goes in between Parks Auto Parts and the rheumatology office next door. If you take that drive, we are three buildings behind Parks Auto Parts in a great warehouse. Mm.
I think there used to be a Wells Fargo there too, right?
Yes. I think that's what the rheumatology office is.
Gotcha.
Old bank.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. Well, and then how about on the web?
On the website, we have a lot of our products listed. We have more in store. So people can shop online, and or if they're looking online, especially if they're out of town, if there's something that they're looking for that they don't see online, they're welcome to message us through the website, and we can see what we can find them in store.
And that's ZumaImports.com for your website. And
that's it.
Zuma Imports on Instagram as well.
That's it.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Elise Witt with Zuma. Thanks so much, Elise.
Thank you so much, Tim. Hope you have a great day.
You too. And on the phone with us right now is Kathy Swink with the Tervis Shop downtown. How you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. We are very, very excited to be partnering with Tervis once again. With regards to the Charleston Home and Design Show coming up February 3rd through the 5th, 2023. And just as we have done in several years in the past, we're going to reward the first 100 guests at the Charleston Home and Design Show who come to the show on Saturday, February 4th with a free Tervis tumbler. And then also we'll reward the first 100 guests on Sunday, February 5th, to the first 100 guests that come to the show that day as well. And Kathy, I can't thank you enough for always thinking of us allowing us to partner with Tervis. The big people upstairs at Tervis, and you managed to get them to agree to do this every year.
Well, it's such a great partnership, Tim, and it's a great opportunity for us to be at the home show with you all, show some of the different product that we have, and it's nice to be able to reward folks that come with a high quality Tervis tumbler.
Yeah, and we're going to do the same design as we did last year. That has. It looks like it's a like an upholstered patch inside the tumbler. It's can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, it's actually the state flag. It's the logo. It's going to be a white patch with the palm tree and the crescent moon, and then on the back is the Charleston Home and Design logo, which it's nice because we've got that partnership with you all with the home show, so you get to have that on the back of the tumbler as well. Mm-hmm.
Aren't we lucky to live in a state that has such a cool emblem for the state design?
Absolutely.
I mean, palm trees. I remember when I first moved here in the 90s. You could go into home decor stores and they'd have all sorts of palm oriented home decor items that you could buy. And you know, here we are lucky enough that the founding fathers in South Carolina decided to use a palmetto and a crescent moon as the logo for our state. And they probably had no idea that it would be so fashion forward at that time.
Most definitely. And that emblem is actually one of our top selling designs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Good deal. Yeah. And I grew up in New York State originally, up near Lake Placid. And I think the emblem or logo for New York State is, it kind of looks like the Supreme Court logo with the person that's blindfolded with the scales. It's not very interesting to look at, but that's one of the great things about living in the South.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, Kathy, as I mentioned to our listeners, we're going to be giving away 100 of these Tervis tumblers. What do those retail for?
Those are going to average around, the retail cost is $16.99 and up.
$16.99, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody knows the Tervis brand. Most people probably have at least one Tervis tumbler or product in their kitchen cabinet, and these are very describe the quality of the Tervis products.
Well, these particular ones, they are the plastic, the double wall insulated plastic, and they are still made at our factory in Florida.
Nice.
They still have a lifetime warranty. So it's great because it's an American company. They are still dishwasher safe on the top shelf. Can put them in the microwave without a lid, microwave them at 30-second increments. But it's a top quality tumbler. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be something that's going to last you forever.
Well, that's great. And you folks usually provide a lid with one of the tumblers that we're giving out to the first 100 people on Saturday and Sunday.
That is correct. It will come with a lid.
Nice.
Yep. It'll have a navy blue lid on it.
Well, I'm pretty clumsy. I tend to spill things, so that the lid always saves me.
Most definitely. And the nice thing about the lid is it helps keep drinks hotter and colder for longer.
Good point. How long have you worked for Tervis?
Over 8 years.
8 years. Wow. And for people who may not have visited the Tervis shop downtown, what will they find there that they may, because you can find Tervis in other retail locations, but what will they find at the Tervis shop downtown?
Well, we've got just a wide variety of designs. We've got our, you know, kind of our Charleston regional designs. We, you know, the nice thing with us is we have, licenses with NFL, MLB, collegiate. So, and if it's something that we don't have in the store, if it's available, we can typically get it for you. You know, if you're a Disney fan or Star Wars fan, you know, anything like that, we've got it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's great because, you know, we do have such a wide variety of items, and we've got such a big back room as well that if we don't have something in the store, we can certainly get it.
That's great. And there are Tervis knockoffs. How do you tell that it's a knockoff versus the authentic Tervis brand?
If it doesn't have Tervis on the bottom of the tumbler, it's not a Tervis.
Gotcha. And those products are probably made in China or someplace else. And
yeah. And you know, if it doesn't have Tervis on the bottom, you know, the quality of that product is not going to be near as good.
Gotcha. So, a lot of people are, including myself, I use, I've got a Tervis stainless steel mug that I use sometimes. Is stainless, does Tervis have a pretty good line of stainless steel products?
We have an excellent line of stainless. Again, we have licensed items. You know, we have artist designs. So, yeah, we have a great line of stainless. And, you know, we have tumblers that come in a 20 ounce and a 30 ounce. We have our new wide mouth bottles. And with our stainless, you know, stainless, you don't want to put those in the dishwasher. You want to hand wash those. But our stainless comes with a 5-year warranty on the thermal properties. It's not keeping the temperature hot and cold.
Well, I just learned something. You're not supposed to put them in the stainless in the dishwasher, huh?
Don't want to put them in the dishwasher.
Uh-huh. My wife's been saying that for years, and I've been ignoring her. Well, good deal. At the Tervis shop downtown, you've always got that one section of the store where you have a lot of really good deals on Tervis products. Do you still have that?
We do. And we've got some special promotions that, you know, we're running a promotion right now that is going to run through Saturday. It's a bonus. We've got a mystery promo going on, but then we've got a new promo that's going to start next week on our last chance items. Mm. And that's going to be a really nice promotion as well. So definitely we'll be able to come in. And this is a great time to get some Tervis for yourselves, pick up some Christmas gifts, or have some gifts to have on hand. If, you know, in case you're going somewhere and you need a last minute gift, pull it out of your closet and you've got a Tervis to take with you.
There you go. Yeah, you can always find something for someone at the Tervis shop downtown. And where is the Tervis shop located?
We're located at the corner of Church and Market Street. The address is 179 Church Street. The phone number, if you can't get downtown, we can take care of you by phone, and you can call us at 843-724-6707, and we can take care of you by phone as well.
All right, great. Well, stop into the Tervis shop when you're walking around downtown and say hello to Kathy, and you can see her out at the Charleston Home and Design Show February 3rd through the 5th, because Tervis always has a nice display set up there, and with all of your different Tervis products that you do some sales right there on the spot to people too, right?
Well, we can take orders and and have them processed through the store.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
And we're gonna have some new items at the home show, so it's gonna be very exciting.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Kathy Swink with Tervis. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Tim, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to being a part of the home show again in February.
We're glad to have you. Thanks so much, Kathy.
All right, take care.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured in today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Tune in again next week.